Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis. I'll be reading from the 18th chapter of Genesis and also from the 21st chapter of Genesis. Let us listen for God's word. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened to the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. And then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. And they said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I now bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son.'" But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "Oh, yes, you did laugh." The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, whom Sarah bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, "God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And she said, "Who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. And now a laugh on myself. I seem to have lost the printed version of our next scripture reading, which is from Matthew, the 9th chapter. I'll be reading verses 35 through the 8th verse of the 10th chapter. Again, let us listen for God's word. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First was Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. And these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons." For the Word in Scripture, for the Word in creation, and for the Word within us. Thanks be to God. Well, I got Father's Day cards from my daughters, and they know me very well. One of them wrote, "Thank you for your corny jokes and your long rambling stories. We love you anyway." So I texted her back and said, "You may like to know that this morning's sermon will begin with two corny jokes and end with a long rambling story. So you are forewarned." There was a preacher walking along the beach, and he found a little vase. And when he picked up the vase, a genie came out. And the genie says, "I will give you one wish." And the preacher said, "But I thought genies gave three wishes." And the genie says, "No, just one, so you better make it good." So the preacher thought for a while and he said, "You know, I'm terrified of planes and boats, but I have always wanted to visit Hawaii. So I would like a bridge from the west coast of the United States to Hawaii so I can drive there." And the genie said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, this wish has to be within the realm of possibility. So do you have another choice?" And the preacher said, "Well, okay. I would like for at least three members of my congregation to remember on Tuesday what the sermon was about." And the genie said, "Do you want two lanes or four lanes?" That one's on you. The preacher was visiting a sick parishioner. And so he did the perfunctory prayer. But there was something special about his prayer that day, and he could feel it. And he prayed for healing. And just as he did, the parishioner jumped out of bed and started running up and down the hall saying, "I'm healed! I'm healed!" And the minister got up and slipped out the other way, quickly got on the elevator, went down to the parking lot, went over to his car, got in his car, closed the door, looked up, and said, "Don't you ever do that to me again." Believe it or not, my two corny stories are very similar to the scripture passages that we heard this morning, because within all those two stories and the stories we read from the scriptures, there is an element of impossibility. That surely this can't happen. Sarah and Abraham said, "Surely we can't have children." And the disciples are told, "Go out and cure the sick." There's an element of impossibility in our stories. But a wonderful thing happens in the Genesis story in particular. And it's the fact that faced with impossibility, what seems to be impossible, Sarah laughs. Now, how many times when we are faced with what seems to be an impossible situation do we laugh? We may be laughing out of fear. We may be laughing out of absurdity. But there's this laughter that comes at, "Oh, yeah, sure." But laughter really is a reaction to facing an impossibility. You know the old saying, laughter is the best medicine? Well, it really is in many ways. I Googled laughter is the best medicine. And I had a pretty good idea what I was going to come up with. Because page after page, study after study, research after research is telling us over and over again that laughter is actually a medicine to us in many different ways. Laughter relaxes the whole body. When we laugh, our body relaxes. Laughter boosts the immune system. Now, these things have been clinically studied and tested. Laughter triggers endorphins. Endorphins, which are the natural feel-good chemical in our bodies. Laughter actually protects our heart because it improves blood flow. Laughter burns calories. Laughter lightens anger's heavy load. Laughter really is good medicine. And laughter could help us live longer. It is good for us to laugh. But what the scriptures show us is that laughter also comes in these times when we think it is impossible to do something. In the first story, Abraham and Sarah, they have already left their home. They've already reestablished in this strange country. And then they have these visitors come and tell Sarah that she's going to have a baby. Now, wouldn't you laugh? Somebody says I'd cry. But we also have to look at this from a cultural perspective. This is something Sarah had wanted her entire life. But she laughs. And then when one of the visitors says, and you laugh. Oh, no, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did laugh. But guess what? She has that son. And they named the son Isaac. Does anybody know what Isaac means? It means laughter. We are all children of laughter. This whole idea of Abraham's prodigy is wound up in this whole idea of laughter. We are children of laughter, of joy. And over in the New Testament, we have Jesus sending his disciples out. It doesn't tell us there was laughter, but I can only imagine that there were some raised eyebrows, perhaps some chuckles, some nervous laughter of, what, us? We're going to go do that? Come on, you got to be kidding. But they go out. And in later stories in the gospel, we are told they come back. And guess what? They did exactly what Jesus told them they would do. They did cure the sick. They did proclaim the gospel, the kingdom, overcoming impossibilities. That's what these stories are really about. And I think what they tell us today and what they draw us into today is, what are some of the impossibilities that we face in our lives? And how are we facing them? We all have things in our personal lives that we think are impossibilities. Things that, how will we face this? How will we get through this? How can we endure this? And sometimes the best way to look at these impossibilities is to just back off and have a good laugh. Even if it's at the complete absurdity of the situation. Because one of the things that most of us need to learn the most is how to laugh at ourselves. What about impossibilities that we have as communities? What are some of the things facing our community here in Clearwater, in Pinellas County? How can we face these from a different perspective? How can we find the absurdity or the humor there? Nationally, oh my goodness, are there impossibilities that face us nationally? Absolutely. There are so many barriers and walls that are going up between people over so many different issues. And one of the best ways to get at some things is through laughter. And if we're not able to laugh at ourselves, we are in trouble. If we can't see the situations that we have gotten ourselves into and find some laughter there, then we will not find our way out. Globally, we are facing tremendous impossibilities with climate change from an ecological perspective, from economic and political perspectives, warring nations. We need to be able to step back and see the absurdity in some of this. We need to be able to laugh. Because without laughter, we will not get past our difficulties. And I know this sounds so counterintuitive. How can we laugh when there's suffering in the world? How can we laugh when there's war? How can we laugh when people can't talk to one another? How can we laugh when all of this is going on? But that's our challenge. In our culture, we have some people who in many ways are trying to show us the way. People who do find the humor in situations. People who do see the absurdity and bring that out to us and help us laugh. How many times have you found yourself saying in recent times, "Well, if I couldn't laugh, I would cry"? Well, it's okay to do both. But if we just continue to cry, that's the path we will continue to be on. It doesn't mean we ignore the difficulties and the impossibilities. What it means is that we embrace them. And we move forward because we are children of laughter and joy. And that is really the gift that we can bring to the world, to lighten the conversation so that perhaps we can find ways through these things that seem to be impossible. We have impossibilities that face us as a congregation. How can we look at these from a different perspective? I'm not going to stand here and give you answers. The Scriptures don't give us answers. The Scriptures point us in the direction and say, why not try this? Why not see life from this perspective? About 6 years ago, I was on sabbatical. And my first week of sabbatical, I spent alone at Ghost Ranch, New Mexico. My plan was to have a solitary retreat. I stayed away from the main campus at Ghost Ranch, a little isolated place called Casa del Sol. I was the only person staying there. I did have my meals in the main dining hall, but most of the week I spent alone. And I did a lot of hiking. If anybody's ever been to Ghost Ranch, you know it's pretty rough terrain there. It's high desert with high mesas, and the trails are steep and rocky. And so I spent a good part of that week out on those trails by myself. On more than one occasion, I had people there at Ghost Ranch tell me that I should not be doing that. One day in particular, I was having breakfast and with a couple, and they said, "Well, what are you going to do today?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to climb Kitchen Mesa." And they both, "Oh, well, who's going with you?" And I said, "Oh, nobody. I'm going by myself." "You better not do that. Somebody was killed doing that just last year." And I said, "Well, I'm going to do it." And I kind of swallowed hard and headed off on the trail. And everything was okay until I came to a point on the trail that was about, 30 feet up, straight up, with a crevice. And there was a long blue rope hanging down that crevice. And that was the way up. And I did exactly what some of you just did. I laughed. I said, "Oh, this is why I shouldn't be doing this." And I nearly turned around and went back. But I said, "No." I took off my backpack. I tied it to the end of the rope. I grabbed that rope. And I made my way up that crevice. I got to the top. Pulled my backpack up. And it was the most magnificent view you have ever seen. I spent the rest of the day on the top of that mesa, and it was absolutely wonderful. But at one point, or perhaps more than one point in that whole process, I was faced with an impossibility. "No, you can't do that. No, I can't do this." When we take that step, some call it a step of faith, but when we take that step into our impossibilities, when we're able to laugh at them, when we're able to realize the absurdity of situations that we were in, sometimes that is exactly the path through them. So when one of these three angels, if you will, said to Sarah, "Oh yes, you did laugh," it was a good thing, because she eventually had that son, named him Son of Laughter. Isaac, who was the father of Jacob, who was the father of Joseph, you know the whole line, all the way to us, children of laughter in the face of impossibility. Amen. Well, I had somebody ask me before the service, "What are you going to sing this week?" And I wasn't going to sing anything until they asked. But I remembered. And this being Father's Day, it brings back a very fond memory. When my daughters were in elementary school and I would drive them to school, we would sing all the way. And I would sing this little medley of happy songs. Oh, what a beautiful morning, blue skies. Those songs that just lift your soul. And one of them we always sang was one that I think is very appropriate for us to leave on today. When you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. And when you're laughing, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. So stop your sighing, be happy again. 'Cause when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. It's true. It really is. Go out and have a good laugh. Amen.